Well, welcome home, everyone. Welcome back. Some of us have been to far-flung places, traveling across oceans, and some of us have had to cross streams, and some of us have jumped into puddles, and some of us have hiked near rivers, and some of us have caught rainwater in our own backyards. Each year, this service brings us together in a special way as we celebrate the fact that, like the two rivers in Kim's story, we meet and we merge and we gather as one flowing to the sea. But which sea? Which ocean? How about the one that is right here, right now? I see some puzzled looks on the faces of a couple of children. What ocean is that? What is she talking about? Well, as I was thinking about this service, I was remembering a couple weeks ago, again, Mark Marnaka's service, where he cited the line from the Langston Hughes poem that I've always loved. Langston Hughes grew up in my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio, and he wrote that line, "My soul has grown deep like the rivers." And the point of the poem was that he looked at all of the great rivers of the world and saw how they all flowed to a common source, into this great, vast body of water we call the ocean. And the ocean, of course, is so deep that there are some places where no human being has ever gone and may never be able to go. One of the reasons why this service has become so popular in Unitarian Universalist communities is because it reflects back to us a greater truth, that each one of us has depths that we have yet to plumb, depths that we explore here in this community week after week, whether it's coming to worship, participating in Sunday school, joining a journey group, attending a Wellspring program, small group conversations, by engaging together in the hard work of social action and social justice. Because of our involvement with this fellowship, we grow deeper as human beings, not only as deep as the rivers, but as vast as the ocean. And because of what happens here, we're able to withstand the strong currents that take us downstream into places perhaps we did not plan to go, to withstand tidal waves of grief, and to experience the joy of being watered in the dry places of the human spirit. We develop the capacity to swim in the body of life itself by all that we learn and do and share with one another. So I love this service, not only for its in-gathering nature, for the way it brings the community together, but because it reminds us that each one of us contain an ocean of vastness and depth that we share with one another, and we combine and we mingle, and we make the body of water that is this fellowship. And as a result, we grow our souls and enlarge our capacity for compassion and wisdom, the depths of which are boundless.
Well, as a lifelong Unitarian Universalist, I just assumed that the annual mingling of the waters service has always been the required way the program year gets kicked off, a time-honored spiritual ritual to kind of cover up that our lives together are guided by the school year. More and more immersed in congregational life, it has occurred to me that there might be a little more to that. I found out last week that the story of the very first water ceremony is even deeper and more intriguing than I imagined. I'm so glad that Reverend Kathleen shared this history with me. First, it's not ancient. It was created in 1980 by two Unitarian Universalist women, Carolyn McDade, who wrote our hymn, Spirit of Life, and Lucille Shuck Longview. They dreamed it up for a service called Coming Home Like Rivers to the Sea for the Women and Religion Continental Convocation of Unitarian Universalists. This is an event that was part of a fascinating process that eventually ushered our principles and purposes into a more modern era by transforming sexist language like mankind into beautiful phrases such as interdependent web of all existence. At that first water ritual, what happened would be familiar to those of us who've more recently attended a mingling of water service, which in other congregations is often called water communion. So this is what happened. Participants would approach a large earthenware bowl bearing water from different places. On that first occasion, these words were spoken. Making our way like rivers from places distant and near, we come together to give shape to a new spirituality. We must create and recreate for ourselves the rituals and symbols that give meaning to us. As rivers in cycle release their waters and regain new beginnings, so do we cycle. For whatever reason, one of the most meaningful elements of their ceremony back in 1980 never caught on. I've never heard of a congregation that still does this. On that occasion, each participant got to take home some of the co-mingled waters as a symbol of shared power. I loved reading this because it satisfied a longing I have always had, the desire to have some kind of closure for the water that is collected. When I came to the fellowship, we started to conclude this service by sending our children out to release the mingled waters into the pond, and we're still going to do that with some of the water. But traditions continue to evolve, and so this year we're going to try out a different custom that's practiced by many congregations in our movement. Instead of releasing or distributing the water, we will keep it for use in our ceremonies of child dedication. Just like in 1980, our co-mingled water, repurposed now to welcome our newest into the fellowship of life, will be a symbol of shared power.